Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So continuing our reading of the 8th chapter of the 7th canto, entitled Lord Nrsingadev Slays the King of the Demons. Today we're doing text number 7. Sri Prahlada Uvacha. Na kevalam me bhavatascha rajan. Savai balang balinam cha parisham. Pare vare mistira jangamaye. Brahmadaya yena vasam pranita. Sri Prahlada Uvacha. Na kevalam me bhavatascha rajan. Savai balang balinam cha parisham. Pare vare mistira jangamaye. Brahmadaya yena vasam pranitaha. Sri Prahlada Uvacha. Na kevalam me bhavatascha rajan. Savai balang balinam cha parisham. Pare vare mistira jangamaye. Brahmadaya yena vasam pranitaha. Mataji's, please. Sri Sri Prahlad Uvacha. Prahlad Maharaj replied, Na, not. Kevalam, only. Me, of me. Bhavataha, of yourself. Cha, and. Rajan, O great king. Saha, he. Vai, indeed. Balam, strength. Balinam, of the strong. Cha, and. Aparesham, of others. Pare, exalted. Avare, subordinate. Ami, those. Stirajangamaha, moving or non-moving living entities. Ye, who. Brahma Adayaha, beginning from Lord Brahma. Yena, by whom. Vasham, under control. Pranitaha, brought. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Prahlad Maharaj said, My dear King, the source of my strength, of which you are asking, is also the source of yours. Indeed, the original source of all kinds of strength is one. He is not only your strength, or mine, but the only strength for everyone. Without Him, no one can get any strength, whether moving or not moving, superior or inferior. Everyone, including Lord Brahma, is controlled by the strength of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 10:41, Yad yad vibhutimat sattvam srimad orjitam evava tatad eva vagachatvam mamate jong sa sambhavam. Know that all my beautiful, glorious, and mighty creations spring but from a spark of my splendor. This is confirmed by Prahlad Maharaj. If one sees extraordinary strength or power anywhere, it's derived from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To give an example, there are different grades of fire, but all of them derive heat and light from the sun. Similarly, all living entities, big or small, are dependent on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One's only duty is to surrender, for one is a servant and cannot independently attain the position of master. One can attain the position of master only by the mercy of the master, not independently. Unless one understands this philosophy, he is still a mudha. In other words, he is not very intelligent. The mudhas, the asses, who do not have this intelligence, cannot surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Understanding the subordinate position of the living entity takes millions of births. But when one is actually wise, he surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 7:19, Bahunam janmanam ante ganavam man mam prapadyate vasudeva ksarvam miti samahatma sudulurba. After many, many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. Prahlad Maharaj was a very great soul, a Mahatma, and therefore he completely surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Lord. He was confident that Krishna would give him protection under all circumstances. Om Vijnana Timirandasya Agananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilita Angena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namaham Vishnu Padai Krishna Sai Buddhale Shri Mante Palananda Swami Tone Namaham Vishnu Padai Krishna Sai Buddhale Shri Mante Bhaktivedanta Swami Tone Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharne Nirvishesha Shuni Vadi Paschyatya Adi Shatarne. So what Prahlad Maharaj is doing here is actually quite remarkable. So if we can just consider the scope of things, his father, Hiranyakashipu, has at this point conquered the entire universe. He had control over everyone and everything in the universe. To such a degree that his megalomania was able to convince him that he was God. Like he was saying in yesterday's verse, that even the planets tremble in fear of him. That's how powerful he was. Even the great demigods, whatever great personalities there may be in the universe, even he slightly just wiggles his eyebrow and they're cowering in fear. And here his son is, standing up and talking back to his father, the most powerful person in the whole universe. That takes a lot of something, you know, a lot of guts or a lot of surrender, or both. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying that I'm getting my strength from the same source that you're getting your strength from. But Hiranyakashipu was denying that he was getting his source of strength from anywhere but himself. Now these sections in the Bhagavatam discussing Hiranyakashipu are quite nice. And it's very important that devotees and people in general read these sections very carefully. Because Hiranyakashipu is the embodiment of everything that materialistic society glorifies. He's the penultimate, the topmost. He's what everyone in the material world is striving after. Everyone wants to be this. Everyone's material endeavors, everyone's financial endeavors, everyone's political or power endeavors. It's all to achieve what Hiranyakashipu here had achieved. Everyone wants to be number one. Everyone wants to be in control. Everyone wants to be powerful. Have everyone else cowering down in front of them in fear and submissiveness. You speak and then everyone trembles. Oh, yes, Master. But you can see through this wonderful example that even though Hiranyakashipu had everything, he was actually the most miserable person in the universe. Because he was constantly afraid. Even though he inspired fear in everyone, he was constantly afraid. But why was he afraid? He was afraid that somebody more powerful than him would come along and kill him. He knew that he had to perform penances and austerities to get this power. So somebody else could just as easily perform some austerities and penances and become more powerful than him. After all, when Lord Brahma would come, all they would have to do is say, I want to be more powerful than Hiranyakashipu. All of a sudden, there's the benediction and they can kill him. And then here's his son, a little 5-year-old boy, a weakling by comparison. We've all seen 5-year-old children, you know, little boys about this big. They're not very powerful, they're not very strong, they don't know very much. But yeah, here's Hiranyakashipu's son, Prahlad Maharaj, talking back to his father, telling him, no, I'm getting my strength from the same place that you're getting yours from. I'm not afraid of you. Now this is very courageous. But this also... it shows a number of things. I'll get more into it in a little bit. But one thing that I was reminded of immediately by reading today's verse and purport was actually that of Vaidarbha, the king of Vidarbha. In the 4th canto, 28th chapter, text 29, it's talking about how King Vidarbha was going to marry his daughter to a very powerful man. This man's name was Malayadwaja. And in the purport, Prabhupada says this amazing thing. Since King Malayadwaja was both a powerful king and great devotee, he fulfilled all the requirements. Because King Vidarbha only wanted to marry his daughter to a very powerful and pious king. He didn't want to marry his daughter to just anyone. The name Malayadwaja signifies a great devotee who stands as firm as Malaya Hill. Malaya Hill is this giant mountain. And through his propaganda, makes other devotees similarly as firm. Such a Mahabhagavat can prevail over the opinions of all others. A strong devotee makes propaganda against all other spiritual conceptions, namely jnana, karma, and yoga. With his devotional flag unfurled, he always stands fast to conquer other conceptions of transcendental realization. Whenever there is an argument between a devotee and non-devotee, the pure, strong devotee comes out victorious. So I was immediately reminded of this when I was reading today's verse, because this is really Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj is standing firm as the Malaya Hill. And whatever onslaughts the thunderstorms of Hiranyakashipu is going to bring, the hill still stands firm, because the storms, they come and go. But Prahlad Maharaj, standing firm as the Malaya Hill, he weathers the storms and he conquers them. He gets past them. But this requires a great degree of surrender. So, sometimes people throw out the word surrender, but they don't really know exactly what it means. In the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada clearly defines what surrender is. Surrender is actually a sixfold process. There are six processes in surrender. So the six items of surrender are to accept everything favorable for devotional service, to reject everything unfavorable for devotional service, to believe that Krishna will always give protection, to identify oneself with Krishna's devotees, to always feel inability without the help of Krishna, and to always think oneself inferior to Krishna, even though one may have full capacity to perform something on his own. So this is really what it means to surrender. And to come to this level of surrender, it really requires commitment. You really have to commit to this process. It can't just be half in, half out. It has to be full on. At a certain point, people just have to decide, I'm going to be a devotee. I'm going to make a commitment to make this the supreme goal of life, to also be my goal of life. And then to fully execute it without holding back. And also in the Nectar of Instruction, Srila Rupa Goswami mentions how to actually come to stability in this commitment. He says it in verse 3 of the Nectar of Instruction. Utsaha nishchaya daryat tattak karma pravartanat sangatyagat sato vrittek shadbir bhakti prasidyati. So Rupa Goswami says, these six principles favorable to the execution of pure devotional service are 1. Being enthusiastic. 2. Endeavoring with confidence. 3. Being patient. 4. Acting according to regulative principles. 5. Abandoning the association of non-devotees. And 6. Following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. These six principles undoubtedly assure the complete success of pure devotional service. So, Krishna consciousness is not a difficult thing. It's not some mysterious thing. It's not something that's vague. Krishna consciousness is very simple. It's plain, it's very clear, and it's easy to understand. There's nothing hidden. The principles and concepts of Krishna consciousness are very simple. It's laid out in a very straightforward manner. You know, right here, Srila Rupa Goswami is saying, you simply do these six things, and you will become very successful in Krishna consciousness. You'll achieve pure Krishna consciousness simply by executing these six functions. So we can see that through Prahlad Maharaj's life, he did execute these six things. He was very enthusiastic. He was endeavoring with confidence. Just like Prabhupada says at the end of today's purport. He says, he was confident that Krishna would give him protection under all circumstances. So that shows his surrender. And it also shows his application of Krishna consciousness. It shows the confidence. Endeavoring with confidence. And with that confidence, he was confident that Krishna would always give him protection. And he was enthusiastic. He was teaching his classmates about the principles of Krishna consciousness. And his classmates were becoming pure devotees. To the point to where his teachers were becoming very afraid. Shanda and Amarka. They were becoming very fearful that all of our students are becoming devotees of Vishnu. What's Hiranyakashipu going to do to us? He's going to kill us. So, oftentimes when we find ourselves stagnant in Krishna consciousness, we just need to go back to the basics. Everyone should have a copy of the Nectar of Instruction. It's such an amazing book. Anytime you feel like your devotional life is getting a little bit sluggish, just open up the Nectar of Instruction. Read the first few texts and see what you're doing wrong. And after reading the first few texts, you'll realize exactly where your misapplication of Krishna consciousness is. And you can rectify it very easily. And then all of a sudden, all the taste comes flowing back. The first two texts, Srila Rupa Goswami talks about things that should be avoided. And then next he talks about the things that we should engage in. In fact, in the introduction to the Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada mentions that this Nectar of Instruction, the Upadesamrita, should be the first book that anyone aspiring for Krishna consciousness read. It's the first instruction. Without understanding this first instruction, how can we properly practice Krishna consciousness? If we don't know what not to do and what to do, how can we have any success? Even in the Ashtanga yoga system, the first two steps of the Ashtangas, of the eight limbs of the yoga process, it's yama and niyama, do's and don'ts. You learn what to do and what not to do. It's interesting also that, well, it's not really interesting, it's kind of obvious, but all the teachings are here in the books too. Prabhupada made these teachings so accessible. So easily accessible. All we have to do is read Prabhupada's books in the Association of Devotees. And everything's there. I remember one time I was sitting with my guru in Mayapur. For some reason he felt sorry for me and so he just let me sit with him in his room all day long. And you know, I would just be chanting japa and other people would be coming in and asking him questions, and he'd be giving answers. And, you know, after about a dozen people came in, I was really starting to get a little bit surprised at his answer, because that's it. It was only one answer. You know, people came in with so many different problems and complex situations, and every time it would boil down to the same answer. Once they got everything off their chest, you'd ask them, "So how frequently have you been reading the Bhagavad Gita?" "Oh, well, you know, Maharaj, not so often, and, you know, not as much as I should, and, you know what, I was just thinking I wanted to get back into reading that," every single time. So the answer was, okay, read Bhagavad Gita and chant Hare Krishna on japa, and this problem will be solved. And that was his answer for every single person that came in. But the amazing thing is that is the answer. That is the answer for all our problems. Krishna consciousness is not difficult. But for some reason, we're wanting to find protection outside of Krishna's loving embrace. We don't want to surrender. That's what the problem is. These six items of surrender are so essential. We should all understand them very clearly. Accept everything favorable for devotional service. Reject everything unfavorable for devotional service. Sri Rupa Goswami actually said that these first two principles of surrender are the guiding principles, the fundamental guiding principles of all our endeavors in Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is not black and white. Something that's beneficial for someone at a lower stage of Krishna consciousness may not be beneficial for someone at a higher stage of Krishna consciousness, and vice versa. So you can't just make blanket statements about Krishna consciousness. You have to analyze your particular situation. And under the guidance of superior personalities, namely spiritual masters, through the guidance of Guru, you ask for his help in understanding your situation and how to apply these principles of Krishna consciousness. In other words, what you need to accept and what you need to reject according to your specific situation. And under the guidance of the Guru, then you can properly apply Krishna consciousness. Believe that Krishna will always give protection. That's the problem. We don't believe that Krishna will always give protection. Because we don't believe that, then we try to make so many other endeavors, so many other arrangements, trying to protect ourselves, trying to protect our family, trying to protect our nation, trying to protect our religion, trying to protect whatever. But that's not up to us. That's up to Krishna. That shows a complete lack of faith, a lack of surrender. Prahlad Maharaj was surrendered. He didn't try to defend himself when his father was trying to kill him in so many different ways. Prahlad Maharaj was surrendered. He knew, Krishna will protect me no matter what happens. No matter if I'm poisoned or stabbed or trampled or squashed or boiled, thrown off a mountain, whatever. He knew Krishna will protect me. That's why he was able to stand up, stand firm like Malaya Dwaja in the face of the most powerful person of the whole universe and say to his face, "No, you're wrong. I'm getting my power from the same source that you're getting your power from. You're not God." This is surrender. This is real surrender. This strength comes from surrender. But to surrender like this, it takes commitment. We have to really commit and surrender within our heart. We have to give up all these other desires. We have to give up these desires of trying to protect ourselves, of trying to maintain ourselves independently, of trying to be something, whatever it is, that people want to be in this material world. And then do the next thing and surrender. Identify with Krishna's devotees. Just be a devotee. And don't worry about it. Just be a devotee. So I think I'll end there if there's any comments or questions. Emily? Oh, wonderful.
Hopefully, maybe Prabhu can just repeat what I said.
Okay, so a nice announcement. Mother Karuna will be giving classes on the Nectar of Instruction for the ladies in Krishna consciousness on Saturdays at 4:30 for the next 8 weeks. 6 to 8 weeks in the Bhakti House. All the ladies are welcome to attend. At 4:30.
So, is it safe to suggest that Virat Maharaj is a? Is it safe to suggest that Virat Maharaj is a unconditionally surrendered soul?
Yes, he is a surrendered soul.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Jai. Back to Anthony.
Hello. You were talking about, thank you for the class, surrendering, and I was just wondering, in what ways can we develop a stronger faith in Krishna consciousness?
Well, we do that by executing the principles that Rupa Goswami mentioned in text 3 of the Nectar of Instruction. Let me read those again for you real quick. There are 6 principles favorable to the execution of pure devotional service. 1, being enthusiastic. 2, endeavoring with confidence. 3, being patient. 4, acting according to regulative principles. 5, abandoning the association of non-devotees. And 6, following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. Now, you could easily give a whole class just upon this text, because going into each of the 6 different activities, you can really elaborate to quite an extent on each of those. But basically, we have to be... You have to endeavor with confidence. You can't be of split mind. Just like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, telling Arjuna, you have to be single-focused, single-pointed in your focus. You can't have multi-branch intelligence. That's what it means to endeavor with confidence. If your intelligence is multi-branch, if it's bahushaka, you cannot proceed with confidence. Because you'll be constantly doubting. What about this thing over here? What about that thing? What about this thing? You have to be single-pointed focus. This is what I'm doing. That's confidence. You have to be enthusiastic. You have to eagerly and willingly, voluntarily want to do it. That's enthusiasm. Enthusiasm doesn't mean that you're some madman in the temple dancing crazy and, you know, just bubbling over with words all the time. That's not enthusiasm. You know, act according to the regulative principles. Follow the 4 principles. You know, also another aspect of the regulative principles is the different processes of bhakti. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, things like that. Abandon the association of non-devotees. This is extremely important, especially for the new devotees. If you're just struggling in Krishna consciousness, your creeper devotion, your bhakti lata, is very weak. It's very tender. So you have to very carefully protect that creeper by abandoning the association of people who are not devoted to Krishna consciousness. You cannot associate with them. Because what happens when you associate with those kinds of people, you'll pick up their bad habits. You'll pick up their polluted mentality. You know, so even in the higher stages of devotional service, you still don't take association of non-devotees. There's a difference between giving association and taking association. You take association from those who are more advanced than yourself. When you take association, you imbibe the qualities of those that you're associating with. So you only want to take the association of those more advanced than you. So it'll aid in your spiritual advancement. For those that are less advanced than you, you want to give them your association. In other words, they will take on some of your characteristics, but you won't be influenced in the slightest by their characteristics. You know, so that's very, very important. Abandon the association of non-devotees. It doesn't mean that you just neglect them and kick them to the wayside. Rather, it means that you preach to the non-devotees. You give them the association of Krishna consciousness. And following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. It doesn't mean to imitate the previous acharyas. Oh, well, you know, Raghunath Das Goswami, he was a Babaji and he only ate 3 drops of Charanamrita every other day. Therefore, I'm also going to go live under a tree and just eat 3 drops of Charanamrita every other day. That's insanity. That's foolishness. That's called imitation. You know, because if you were to try to do that, you'd starve to death. Because you're not connected that strongly with the spiritual energy. Raghunath Das Goswami was directly connected with the spiritual energy, so he didn't need sustenance from the material energy anymore. He could directly survive and be nourished directly from the spiritual energy. You know, or trying to imitate Haridas Thakur. Oh, you know, I'm just a Baba. I only chant. I don't do practical service. I just chant by myself and just see what a great devotee I am. I'm chanting Hare Krishna 192 rounds every day by myself. That's imitation, and it's guaranteed that you'll fall down. Prabhupada gave so many strong warnings about that. So we did not imitate the previous acharyas. Rather, we follow in the footsteps. Following in the footsteps means to practice the principles of Krishna consciousness according to our realization and gradually make advancement with the goal being what the other previous acharyas had achieved. That's the goal. It means that we work towards that. It doesn't mean that we imitate and try to immediately jump to that position. So simply follow these 6 principles of Krishna consciousness and you will achieve exactly what you were asking about. So I think we'll end there. Granta Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai.